I see you.
On the stream, I want to see the service audio. I want to see. I want to see the dirt.
He didn't have you doing benediction. Benedictus. My mother's, my father's, who beat up your father.
You see them then through the on the picture.
There is only Bible Church team.
Okay, look at what you see there. If it's the transmission of this,
yeah.
The transmission of the whole thing, of everything.
Everything you see here is transmitting all that.
That's what I mean. You have to, on the camera, when they come, you have, on the service, you put it here, okay?
On the message, we put it over here. So that.
Yeah, and you have to.
Right now, for the singing, they will be here.
Yeah, but.
I think we're saying the same thing, but.
But, what I mean is, when you do the service, when you everything, you have to put this. This over there to be able to see. Okay?
So whatever it's worth, you're getting what you want out of the sermon audio, so that's working.
Perfect, because this is what is here is what is transmitted. It's here. Uh-huh. Everything is going to go through this.
Okay?
That's what we need. You don't need that here, because that is for when you go to the service, you put that. You keep that small until they just start to speak. Okay.
Well, from my point of view, everything's working. I mean,
just take out them there.
No one can play guitar. Yeah,
other than that, I don't know why this is still here. Because before we don't.
I think most people grow up in the church.
That's the only thing that I.
Well, everything's working though. My point being is,
I know the thing is, I don't know why it's here all the time.
It looks like a good thing to have.
No, but before we have it separated, right?
You don't even need a Bible.
You can probably put it on the mouse and drag it.
Mm.
Yeah, we need to get rid of this. I don't know how. Remember that?
Usually you can pick the
this part. Oh, okay, take it out. And then just reduce that, put it there.
Right, you do how you want. Right? That mouse goes with this.
When you were growing up, you
attended
Baptist church.
Yes.
Right?
So, Baptist temple, I probably,
okay.
From my point of view,
maybe
out of
600.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, I was in
the service. Because this is the service.
Advent.
Did you hear me?
How you do this, and you don't see this part. Remember that?
Very similar to a Baptist church.
When you do the service, you go in, focus on this one, okay? And we turn off the lights and focus on this one, okay? But what I don't know is why it's showing this. Because before, we don't show this.
It's not a Baptist channel, but it's got a lot of...
Excuse me.
Are we ready to get...
Maybe now? To record?
Yeah, let's talk.
So where's Frank is now?
Hmm?
Where's Frank now? He's in a stay or he's in Italy?
No, he's in Italy.
Oh.
Can you see us?
I told you
we can see you.
I'm ready, Mr. Giovanni. Ready for my cousin.
I want to get rid of that. Please. You have an idea?
You're not going to get rid of
that. No? Okay.
All right, start.
We're ready?
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad that you're here this morning. I have a special morning today.
Could it be?
Steve and Marcia are in, is it Michigan or Wisconsin? Michigan, I think. Anyway, he called me Tuesday to brag about 70-degree weather and 50s at night and how excited they were to be there.
What are you doing?
50th high school reunion, and then we'll talk. So, but this evening, this morning, we have missionaries from Italy who are going to be sharing what their ministry is. Everyone is going to be sharing this 40-year-old church. So, if you stand with me, we'll get ready to get started. We have some great hymns and choruses to sing.
Franklin, you see?
And a great story to hear about what God is doing.
What? I don't know.
The country of Italy.
Like that?
Just pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us.
They don't see us.
We thank you that halfway around the world, people we know are serving you. That you have called someone who is a part of the fellowship to be missionaries.
We can see the congregation
in Italy to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's amazing to hear how you're working through them to start churches and bring people to yourself. It's encouraging. It's amazing again to think you're not just the God of the United States or a lot of churches, but you're working all over the world. And everybody's life is willing to surrender to you. We pray that you'll use the hymns and the songs we sing and the testimony of what you're doing in Italy to encourage us today. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You're already standing, so you're ready to sing Stand Up. Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the U.S.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the world. Lift high your banner in the sons of the gods. From victory unto victory, his army shall be lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord.
To Israel, even back then God was saying, I'm not just going to use you, bring myself to you, but I'm going to, through you, bring the whole world the knowledge of myself. Arise, shine, for your light is coming.
Arise, shine, for your light is coming, and the glory of the Lord has risen on you. Arise, shine, for your light is coming, and the glory of the Lord has risen on you. Behold, our death will already live, and deep darkness of people. For the Lord will rise for you, and His glory will appear for you. Nations shall come to your
Jesus Christ has done for us. It should be part of our life, no matter who we're talking with, no matter what we're doing, recognizing that this story, I love to hear it over and over again, because it reminds me of what Jesus has done for me. I love to tell the story.
To tell the story of what He reigns above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longing like nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. Will He my fear and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love? I love to tell the story. yet to me. Does dainty twilight tell it, or water's only tear? I love to tell a story, for some had never heard. The message of salvation, from God's holy word. I love to tell the story, will be my name in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Sing humbly and thirsty to hear it like the rest. And when it seems a glory, I sing the new song. Will be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. Will be my hidden glory to tell the old story of Jesus and His love.
Think about that one day when we're in heaven. Billions upon billions who've accepted Christ will be able to share with you how they met Him, who told them about Jesus, how they became saved, and you'll get to share that with everybody else. It'll be amazing to hear how God has worked in everybody's life all these years, to hear the story. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to You. Take my hands, take my voice, everything that I have, I want to be Yours.
Take my intellect.
before we hear from God's Word and from our missionaries as they share, this is a great concept in the Old Testament. When they would sanctify people, they would, the priests or someone, even kings, when they were put into office, they would anoint them with oil to set them apart for God. That's what this means, sanctify. And as Christians, we should be recognized, we need to be set apart for God. And everything we are, everything we do. This is a great prayer for us to ask God to sanctify every part of us.
Sanctify my eyes, O Lord, and I can see that you really see. Sanctify my ears, O Lord, and I can hear that you really mean. Sanctify my lips, O Lord, and I
tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, he's to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of His peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established, and it will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for He is coming. For He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and all the peoples in His faithfulness. Let's pray. Father, we look forward to that day when You take Your rightful place as Lord of this earth and You restore from the evil and awful that we see around us to the glory that You intended this world to be. All the beauty, the world, it says, the trees clapping their hands and the rocks crying out and everything in this world saying together that You are the mighty God, You are the Creator, and once again, You're ruling and reigning the way You should. And in charge of all of this world, in charge of us. We long for that time to be a part of that kingdom, to be out of this body and into the one that You've prepared for us, to be living in the kingdom that You desire us to be a part of. We recognize that in the meantime, You've put us here, given us jobs to do, and part of that is to share the gospel with those around us, to live righteously so the world can see You are alive and You are the God of this world and that they need You. So use us for that purpose. Pray that You will bless the Ephesians as they share. Give them wisdom and joy as they share what You're doing in their lives and through them in Italy. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Since Steve's not here, we have two of our missionaries. We support three missionary groups. One of them is in Italy, and they have Jesus, Pam and Frank. And he's going to share a message with us and share something of what God is accomplishing through them in Italy. So we're excited to hear that. Feel free to start sharing, sir.
Go ahead, Frank. Can you hear me? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, hi, y'all. Or ciao, I'm Susie. And it's such a blessing to be here with you all and to have this opportunity to share God's Word. But before I do that, I would like my beautiful bride to give you a little bit of an update of all that we're doing here in Italy. Amela?
Well, first of all, we just want to thank you all for your prayers and your financial support over the last year. You know, it's really been a blessing to just know that you all are behind us and praying for us throughout this ministry. And we have some new co-workers. As you may remember when we came last year, Justin and Amanda Latona joined us 2 years ago. And they have been a big help to us in the ministry. And they've also adapted pretty well to the culture and the language now. So that's been very encouraging. We also have a young man, Jeremiah Smith, who's finishing his first year of Italian studies. And he is speaking Italian quite well now. And he is reaching out to many students and young professionals with the gospel as well. And we personally have been studying the Bible with some friends who are not yet believers, as well as discipling several believers. And this is in addition to our regular church activities. But the Il Rifugio Church in Torino, where we were originally, has now merged with an international church in Torino. which has English-speaking services. So they switched from being an Italian-speaking church to an English-speaking church. As far as my health goes, and we thank you for your prayers, I have just finished 6 months of chemotherapy, and my biopsy results have shown a reduction of the cancer from 60% to 20% of my cells. And this is really a great answer to prayer, so we thank you all for praying. I will continue maintenance therapy for the next several months just to maintain, but it's really been a blessing. And now Frank wants to share with you a message that God has given him.
And again, it's really an honor to be here with you. And we're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. And I'd like to read a short paragraph to you all before we get started. But first of all, I'd like to pray. Lord, I do want to thank you for giving us the honor to be speaking at Hope Bible Church, Lord. We would really have loved to be with them in person. But thank you, Lord, that for modern technology that we can connect with the dear saints from Milano, Italy. And I just really pray, Father, that you would help us to have our hearts open to your truth, and that we would put in practice the things that you teach us. We're so excited, Lord, to be here with them, and we ask you, Lord, that you be glorified in all things. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Lord, I just want you to know we just celebrated our 37th anniversary, and it's been a great adventure, a labor with the Lord together, and so we're here together with you. So we're going to, the sermon is going to be designing spiritual growth. You know, these are basic fundamental truths that we should always keep in our hearts and always try to practice every day of our lives. But I'd like to read this paragraph to you. It says, God's imperishable word stands forever. This imperishable word was the content of Peter's preaching in chapter 1, verses 12 and 25. He preached the word because God's word has life. God's word gives life. And God's word nourishes life. Thus, the Christian's life should be a spiritually growing life. But in order to grow in eternal ways, we need eternal nourishment. Just as we are all conceived by the eternal word of God, as newborn babes, we are to continue in the Word of God. Lived out truth produces growth. You know, we have a young woman that has become a believer just 3 months ago. And it's amazing how she has been applying these truths to her life. Her name is Sarah, and she's not Italian, she's Chinese. But what's been really encouraging about her, as she reads the Word of God, she puts it in practice in her life. As an example, she had gotten a scholarship to Cornell University in New York, but she decided because she wanted to grow in her faith that she would stay in Milano, Italy, and learn from Il Rifugio Milano. And she was going out with a young man who is not a believer, and when she started reading the Word and we started having Bible studies with her, she decided that that wasn't a good thing for her to do, so she broke the relationship with this young man in a nice way. But all the little things that she is doing in her life, all to give the glory to our God. And so the things that I want to share with you, like I said, is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. And the first thing that we want to realize is that we need to get rid of all evil behavior. Now, how in the world can you get rid of all evil behavior? I believe there's only one way, but the verse says, so get rid of all evil and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. This is verse 1. So God desires that we get rid of all these things from our lives. Now, I want you to know that before I became a Christian, this was probably my life. That I was, maybe in the sense of saying, was I really evil? Well, in the eyes of God, I would say I probably was evil. Was I a person that deceived people? I probably was, because all I thought about was number one. I thought about myself instead of thinking about others and how I can help others. Was I a hypocrite? Probably at times I was a hypocrite. Did I envy people? At times I envied. And did I slander people? I probably did as well. But you know, God took hold of my life, and I'm so excited about that. I just celebrated my 42nd birthday, spiritual birthday, of following Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to know, Jesus has transformed my life. Just like it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed, behold, the new has come. You know, this reminds of the example of the caterpillar and the butterfly. And of course, I'm sure you probably have heard this millions of times. But it's really interesting how a caterpillar, who is a very destructive insect, and I'm sure all the farmers really did not appreciate having caterpillars in their fields. But just think of that caterpillar going into a cocoon for 9 to 15 days, and then coming out as a beautiful butterfly. Before it was destructive, now it's for the good of all. Because it flies around, it flirts around from flower to flower, and it pollinates them. Can you imagine? Before it was evil and destructive, now it's good and used for a good purpose. Well, I have to say that's the same thing for my life. Before, I was useless to God. Now, God has blessed me. He has transformed me into a vessel that He used for His glory. And I'm sure that's true for all of you guys. I'm sure God is using you in a very special way. But we have to have that desire to keep on growing. Do not become a museum. Don't get used to what it used to be like. You know, go out. You know, I just want you to know, I'm a young 73-year-old, and I just love working with young people, and I have tremendous respect for them, and they have tremendous respect for me. How God has changed me tells us this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, it's so interesting to know how God can take a person that's evil and transform him into something that's good and something that can be used and something that can bring glory and honor to our God. It's just really amazing that, you know, we have a lot of fantastic examples in the Old Testament how God takes ordinary people and transforms them. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So who are this great crowd of witnesses? Well, when you hear the word therefore, you go back one chapter and you find that it's the great hall of fame, of faith, the men of old, the men and women of old, who really started off just like we did. You know, when you become a Christian, you took baby steps, little by little steps, and eventually God started maturing you in the faith. And that's so exciting to me that that's exactly what God has been doing with us, and I'm sure He has been doing that with you. But we always need to go back to those principles. You know, he says here, especially, he says, strip off every weight that slows us down. What slows us down, guys? What slows you down? You know, I think the greatest sin that anybody could ever commit is the sin of unbelief. Sometimes, instead of believing the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we believe the lie of the devil. And guys, we need to go back to those basics and understand that God desires for us to have a desire for growing spiritually. And then he goes on and says that let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. What race has God set before you? I know for me, guys, some people tell me, Frank, when are you going to retirement? You're 73 years old. What have you got to offer to these people? Well, dear saints, I believe that God does not talk about retirement any place in the Bible. I ask God that as long as I breath in my lungs, that I bring glory and honor to Him by being available to share the hope that I have of eternal life. There's many people here, you know, there's 1% of the population is evangelical Christians. The rest of them are unbelievers that really need the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure there's a lot of people in the United States that have that same need. And we can all partake of that. We can share our story, how God changed our lives, how He's given Himself on that cross to save us, just like it says here. He gave Himself so that we could have life through Him. When I think about this story, I think about Barabbas and Jesus. You know, Jesus was completely innocent of any sin, of anything. And Barabbas was a murderer. He was a thief. And God exchanged places with him because God loved him. He didn't love the sin that he had, but he loved the person. God has been teaching my wife and I how to love people right where they're at. We follow the example of Jesus Christ. But we don't look at the things of the earth. Our eyes are focused on Jesus Christ because He is the author and perfecter of our faith. And our eyes need to be continuously looking to Him for every good thing. And so, whenever you're in doubt about your faith, read Hebrews 11. Read Hebrews 12. Read the whole Bible like this young Chinese girl is doing. You know, she started in Genesis. She's in Exodus right now. And she's read the whole New Testament. She's only been saved for 3 months. We need to be like this young woman that is really focused on Jesus and running the race in such a way as to win. The second thing that we need to do is desire the Word of God. In 1 Peter 2a says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk. That's how we need to desire the Word of God. So drinking from the Word of God enables Christians to live the life God has called them to live. And to really live that life, to enjoy it, to relish in it, and to grow in every sense of the word. Just as newborn babies take in the nourishment of milk, so Christians take in the nourishment of God's Word. Christians are to desire or crave or long for the nutritional Word every day, not just on Sunday morning. Think about this. How does a newborn baby long for milk? Surely in at least 3 ways. Desperately, eagerly, and frequently. This is the same way Christians are to desire the pure milk of the Word of God. Now I know some of you are grandparents and perhaps some of you have children, they're infants. You need to observe their lives and how much they really do crave, how much they really do crave the milk, the pure milk. That's how we should crave the Word of God in our lives. Again, not just on Sunday morning, we sit down, we plead the pews, and then we go home. But we need to put the Word of God in practice in our lives. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 through 16, it says, but practicing the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in Christ, who is the head, From him, the whole body grows, fitted and held together through every supporting ligament. As each one does its part, the body grows in love. You know, my goal, my wife's goal, and a lot of the young people in our church's goal is to become like Christ. That is what God desires. You know, it says in Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus our Lord. That is our heart's desire, that we become more and more like Christ. And so we strive for that. And as we grow in love with Christ, we grow in love with one another. Just like in marriage, as I grow more closer to God, I grow more closer to my wife, and together we're able to love on one another as He designed marriage to be. From Him, the whole body grows, fitted and held together through every supporting ligament. You know, each one of us has different spiritual gifts. God wants us to use those spiritual gifts to honor, for our brothers and sisters, and to honor Him. And if we all work together, we can do a great work for the glory of our God. And that is His desire. So we want to continually get rid of all evil that exists in our lives. But we want to desire the Word of God. And then we want to grow spiritually in our faith. It says in 1 Peter 2:2b, that by it you may grow up into salvation. You know, if you go back to Hebrews 12, verse 1, it's important to realize that when the men of old were saved, they didn't know everything. They didn't know everything, but step by step they got closer and closer to the Lord and grew in their salvation. And you know, we have to do the same thing. We have to grow into our salvation. We want to become like Jesus Christ. You know, there's a time coming, and it's, I believe it's soon, that we will be standing in the presence of our God. And when that happens, we will be glorified like He is glorified. We will be just like He is. We haven't arrived yet, but we're striving for that moment by moment to accomplish that goal. The third thing that we need to do is growing spiritually in our faith. So in 2 Timothy 3:16 it says, every scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the person dedicated to God may be capable and equipped for every good work. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to us? The Word teaches us what is really important in life. But you have to know what the Word says in order to realize what is important in life. That's why we need that pure milk of the Word of God, so that we will know how to live our lives in such a way that it gives glory to Him. The Word shows us those things in our lives that need to change. We all have things in our lives that need to change. I know that I love when I read the Word and the Lord shows me something, I like to put it in practice. This young woman, like I said, she was going out with an unbeliever before she was saved. When she got saved, she said, "This is wrong. He's an unbeliever. I'm a believer." And so they broke up. She put it right. She realized that she needed correction in her life. And you know, we can also help one another in that. I really love it when someone, I tell the church that I belong to, I tell them, guys, if you see me doing something wrong, if you see and hear me saying something I shouldn't be saying, if you really, really love me, you'll come to me and you'll tell me. You will be helping me grow in my walk with the Lord. We all need that, saints. We need to be able to correct one another. The Word tells us to do so. And as we correct one another, we grow and grow more in love with Jesus and more in love with one another and more in love with the lost. But remember, Even if you hear me say something that I should be saying today, please tell me. I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear what your thoughts are. The Word transforms us from children into mature Christians. Again, it's the application, the obedience. Jesus said, if you really love me, you will obey me. If you are my friends, you will obey me. And that is the desire of my heart, that I will obey what Christ has telling me to do. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, it says, it was he who gave us some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry that is built, to build up the body of Christ. You know what my job is? My job is to equip our saints to do the work that Christ has given us to do. And it's been really encouraging to see some of our saints really growing and maturing in their faith, because we're taking time to disciple them and helping them to grow in the love of Jesus Christ. And I am so excited that we're not a big church, but the people that we have are really starting to really desire to be discipled and really wanted to go out and reach out to the people that we come into contact every day. And that to me is so exciting. And then the last thing is that 1 Peter 2:3 says, draw near to the Lord, for he is good. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, this particular verse of 1 Peter comes directly from Psalm 34:8, which says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Now you may be asking yourself, how is the Lord good? And I'm sure all of you will have something to say on how good the Lord is. I've listed some things here that I'd like to share with you. And the first thing is, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. It says in Ephesians 1, we're complete in Christ. We're dead to sin. Forgiven of all our sins, past, present, and future. We're holy in Christ. Justified in Christ. Members of the body of Christ. We have been adopted. We have been adopted by our God. In Christ Jesus our Lord, we are sons of God, sons and daughters of the living God. That is just simply awesome to think about. I just really love the fact that we have so much in the Lord. He has given us so much, and he continually gives us so much more. And the last verse that I want to share with you is Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. What does it mean to trust in the Lord with all your heart? You know what? You probably never heard this story before. But when Pam and I decided, after we had prayed many years, that we wanted to move to Italy to make disciples, we had a little bit of a difficult time getting the paperwork that we needed from the United States government. And we needed a visa. The passport would give us 3 months, but we needed a visa in order to live here. And it was kind of strange that we were not able to get that in the United States. Well, anyway, I said I knew that God wanted us to come, so we were going to come for the 3 months. Or actually, we're going to come to stay here. And we believed that God would provide the means for us to do so. We prayed a lot. I just want you to know that we fasted a lot. And I wrote a letter to a church in Torino, Italy. And I asked them, I said, you know, we have a desire to move to Italy, to start a church, to make disciples, and so forth. And the pastor there read the letter. He says, who is Frank Apisa? I've never heard of him before. And there was a missionary there named Jim Well, actually, it was from Florida, resident of Florida. And he said, why don't you give me the letter? I don't know who he is either, but he lives in Tampa. I live in Lakeland, Florida. I'll send him a message and invite him to have lunch with us. And I'll find out all the outbreak of fees, and then I'll tell you who he is. Well, we got together. Normally, lunch in the United States, as you know, is an hour and a half, and that's the end of it. Well, 5 hours later, we had become best of friends. And Jim said, you know, Frank, don't worry about, you know, the paperwork that you need here. Come to Italy. We have I have a friend who works for the police department, who works with foreigners in Italy. And I'm sure that he will be able to get you all the documents you need. So we packed up and we moved to Turin, Italy. And when we got there, we met Jim again at the church, and we met his friend. And his friend said, Frank, what you need to do is go back to your hometown in southern Italy and ask them to give your citizenship back. So my wife and I went to southern Italy where I have relatives, and my cousin actually worked for the government office that we needed to go to, and after that, do not doubt him. Believe in him. He will move mountains to accomplish his goal in our lives. And that's what it's all about, to trust him completely. Do not lean on your own understanding, because our own understanding will deceive us. But God will never deceive us. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. And he did make our paths straight to be able to move to Turin, Italy, and start a church there. That's all I have for you all, but I wish we were there, that we talked to you all in person. We were so thankful for you all, for your prayers, and for your finances that you've been sending our way. And if ever you would like to come to Italy and do a short-term mission with us, it would be awesome. We would love to have you. I'm going to close in prayer. Lord, I just want to thank you for our home church in Tampa, Lord. I pray, God, that you bless each one of them in a very special way. Lord, I pray that these basic principles of our faith would stick in their hearts, Lord, that they would have a desire to put them in practice in their lives. God, there's so many lost people in our world, and they all are so needy, God. They need the hope that we have. I pray, God, that everyone would take the opportunity to pass that a track to someone, or share their story to someone. And Lord, I know I find so much joy in doing that. But not only that, Lord, it's exciting to me when I share the gospel with people. It reminds me of all that I had in you, Jesus. And so I pray, God, that you would just really bless your people. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Give from the tithes that you put into the
church here, we give a certain portion to our missionaries. But if you'd like to do something individually, again, I can let you know how to do that. And then lastly, as far as evangelism in general, I wanted to mention Ralph is involved with that ministry. If you'd like to touch base with him, other ways that you might be involved with evangelism locally, bounce ideas off of him or ask about what's currently going on, see Ralph on that. And so now we have our last songs. As far as the offering, you can give on the bottom of that table, or online, or delegate to the church. Thank you.
Sometimes we seem to leave this too. Sometimes
That song is from a scripture song taken from the book of Hosea. And Paul, as he writes in Philippians, has the same mindset, to know him, the power of his resurrection. My whole goal in life is to press on to know Jesus Christ.
Thank you.